refer to myself as a psychedelic informed sex and trauma therapist, was probably unintentionally exposed to just the concept of sex at too early of an age. When you do the ketamine, it will last for about 90 minutes. You will listen to a curated playlist that will follow your journey. We know what to expect. You might not know, being on the end of the client's side.
Welcome to episode 44 of Super States, Practices of Transformation, with me, your host, Joshua Peters. Super States explores the crossroad of trance states with personal or professional growth. And in each episode, we talk to world-class leaders, revolutionary thinkers, and industry leaders who share with us the latest information, tools, along with their own personal stories. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast host or on YouTube so you can stay up to date with new episodes. And if you enjoy this show, please give me a 5-star review. That's the best way to help the show grow. This week, I talk with Dr. Courtney Pagin. Dr. Courtney works as a psychedelic-informed sex and trauma therapist. She's a pioneer using ketamine to address complex issues related to human sexuality and trauma. Buckle up, listeners, as we explore ketamine as a catalyst for change with Dr. Courtney Pagin. Welcome to Super States. I am here today with Dr. Courtney Pagin. Dr. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
We're excited to have you here as well. Dr. Courtney, share with us what you do and how that makes a difference to people's lives.
Sure. Well, I always, when I get this question, I'm just like, oh gosh, how do I introduce myself? Because I feel like I wear so many hats. And I decided to merge all of my hats together and just create this overly lengthy title. So I refer to myself as a psychedelic informed sex and trauma therapist. And right now I am working with ketamine and addressing issues primarily related to human sexuality, whether that be like relationships or sexual discrepancies or, you know, interest exploration within the context of some relational dynamic. But then there's also that trauma aspect where that's not always present in the folks that I work with, but commonly it does come up.
Okay, so there's kind of a lot right there to explore. But the first thing I want to know is how did you get into this? Like, you say you have all these different hats, so there must be mm-hmm. a story to this. I'd love to hear your origin story.
Yeah, so I was probably unintentionally exposed to just the concept of sex at too early of an age, just by picking up Cosmopolitan magazines and like Red Book magazines of my mother's. And so at a very young age, you know, I was reading this material about like how to give the best blowjobs and like how to spice up your sex life. And then before you know it, like I was in undergrad in my director of psychology professor's office. And we were getting a sense of like, so Courtney, what do you want to do with your life? And naturally, being from Wisconsin, and I believe that's like the serial killer capital of the world, initially I was going to go into forensic psychology. And then once I realized that even in, you know, high school and then college, like a lot of my friends were coming to me for their relationship advice. And I was really good at talking about sex, as, you know, just not having smirks or giggles or being like, ugh, you know, and yucking somebody's yum. And so I just somehow intuitively in that moment asked my professor, is there such a thing as a sex therapist? And he said, yes. And then proceeded to tell me the path to become a sex therapist. I didn't quite follow his trajectory. I started at University of Wisconsin-Stout with a bachelor's in psychology, and I minored in cognitive neuroscience and French, which French kind of, you know, fell to the wayside, as I feel naturally. I was like, oh, if you don't have the practice, then you kind of lose it. But then once I got into graduate school, that was a clinical psychology track, and there weren't many courses that were related to human sexuality, and I ended up having to create my own track and some of my own classes by attending various workshops and conferences. And then I had gone into marriage and family therapy for my PhD program, and that was unintentional but perfect, because in retrospect, I was able to realize that psychology is more an individual approach to working with folks. And then you have marriage and family therapy, which is more systemic. And I think that when we look at folks in sort of a whole picture nature, it's important to take a biopsychosocial spiritual approach to looking at people and conceptualizing their concerns, because that is, you know, all of the parts that make us who we are.
Yeah.
So I primarily worked in, you know, the sex therapy field. And then it was just this past year, I was talking to a good friend of mine who is an astrologer. And I asked her, I was like, something's got to be going on. Something is going on. And I don't know what it is, but I was like, I just feel like something needs to change in regards to my career, but I don't know what it is. I love what I do. I don't want to switch fields, but something's got to give, and I don't know what it is. And then one morning, I was on this private practice group on Facebook, and someone had mentioned a ketamine clinic and an integrative approach. And it was just like the light bulb came on. And I was like, oh, that's it. And I've always wanted to do integrative work, because there's only so much that I can do doing traditional talk therapy. You know, I think it's important to consider a person's diet, for example, and how that might impact their lifestyle or their religious practice. So when I discovered that we have some pretty magnificent ketamine clinics here in Minneapolis, or rather in Minnesota, I had found one that was very reputable and decided to do their fellowship program, and have just been on that journey ever since.
I love how that kind of insight came to you just by trusting your intuition.
Yes. Yeah, very intuitive person.
I hear a lot of talk about ketamine, but I don't really know much about it. Can you share a little bit about ketamine? Because I know there's a lot of people that are very interested in both in the therapy, but are just really curious about what is this ketamine I keep hearing about?
Yeah. So ketamine is actually an anesthetic, and it was derived from PCP. So PCP was used as an anesthetic initially. And then when people were coming out of their anesthetized states, sometimes they were getting very violent and uncontrollable. And so one day someone had, you know, tinkered with the chemical and molecular like composition of PCP, and then ketamine was born. and ketamine, you know, was naturally studied over time to determine its effectiveness. And one of the things that was discovered as a result of these observations was that ketamine had a very natural antidepressant effect. Oh. And so what happens as one takes ketamine, preferably in a clinical setting, I will say that's my bias. What it does is it increases the glutamate in your brain. And so that's your excitatory chemical. So when you do ketamine sessions with a therapist, your brain is ripe with neuroplasticity. Mm. So that is an excellent time if you're trying to develop like new habits, new behaviors, new thought patterns, or even break bad habits, that might be an option you would want to explore. One of my most favorite analogies in describing ketamine and how it affects the brain is if you imagine your brain is like a ski hill, and it is your, you know, maybe your thoughts and your behaviors and your habits that are your well-traveled trails. And then doing ketamine is as if you get a fresh blanket of snow just dumped on your ski hill, and that's your opportunity to create new trails. And with that, you know, you kind of need to go in with good intention, but just having intention in general and it not being a sort of willy-nilly something that you do is best practice.
I think intention is vital for pretty much any kind of change process, but especially yes. if you're going to bring in substances like this where you're mm-hmm. you know, you're under some kind of influence. So having that intention is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm curious how you use then so let's say someone comes into you with, maybe you can help me understand. What are the biggest types of challenges that your clients come with?
It's pretty variable. So right now, the only FDA-approved use of ketamine is for treatment-resistant depression. However, it has off-label use, such as PTSD, anxiety disorder, OCD, substance abuse, that it's proven to be very effective mm-hmm. in treating those, but it's of course case by case dependent. And even when we go in with the best intentions, it's not always guaranteed to be a good experience, and you're not always going to go where you want to go yeah. on this journey. The medicine will take you where you need to go. And sometimes that ends up being a very difficult journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I can resonate with that. So your baseline is you're a psychedelic informed sex and trauma therapist. Mm-hmm. Are you helping people? So it sounds like you see people for lots of different reasons. And is the ketamine just kind of specifically then for the people that you're dealing with that are, like you said, depression resistant?
Not always, no. The majority of the clients that I work with don't have fall into like any particular category. The most common category that clients like are under the umbrella of is something having to do with human sexuality.
Okay.
And then, you know, when I do my diagnostic assessments, and that's when I do that biopsychosocial spiritual diagnostic assessment to get a clearer picture of like what all factors are playing a role in to the reason as to why you're coming to see me.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes it's so interesting. I have realized in my clinical work that, you know, folks will come to me for sex therapy. And, you know, then somewhere down the line, it's kind of uncovered that, like, oh, we also are dealing with some residual PTSD from childhood trauma, or, you know, there's depression or anxiety. But it's hard to measure depression or anxiety if you don't have the assessment tools. Mm. But the one thing you can measure that people are aware of is, how often am I having sex?
Yeah.
And if it's not often, then that's kind of when the light comes on and it's like, something's wrong here. But I most often, with the clients that I have worked with thus far in doing ketamine, sometimes it was just wanting to adjust, but dealing with an adjustment of having several life transitions happen in a very rapid period of time, where it was just like one thing after another, after another, after another. And like, could we categorize that as some type of like compound, like trauma, potentially? Personally, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the Diagnostic Manual of Mental Disorders. Mm-hmm. I feel it is very pathologizing, and sometimes it can also exclude a lot of good and, like, not good, but important factors that are not measurable according to that book, such as, you know, those little t traumas that repeatedly happen, but, you know, it shouldn't take something as extreme as a physical assault to, you know, qualify for post-traumatic stress disorder when emotional neglect from a significant caretaker is like just as equally as impactful. So it all depends on also the person. Sometimes folks are just coming in to say, like, you know what, I know that something's wrong, but I don't know what it is. Mm. And, you know, it can be something that helps you, like, kind of shake the tree loose and see what's all here. What am I not seeing? The doctors in our clinic will often say, this is not a panacea, but this is a catalyst for change. And sometimes it helps to uncover things and assist us with letting our guards down. So if there is something that we're not looking at or refusing to look at, this can help us look at those scary things and them not be as daunting.
Okay. Can you give an example of how what a typical ketamine session might look like?
Sure. Well, from start to finish, it's pretty in depth. And I definitely not only do I consider this the gold standard, but our office also considers this the sort of golden standard approach to ketamine treatment. And so it would start with reaching out to the clinic and expressing an interest in ketamine therapy. Typically, folks are already ready to go on a journey by the time they reach us. Mm-hmm. They often have done their research. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it's not the first stop. You know, they've done some treatment already, and then it's like, you know, this is the sort of supplemental something that they need to go a little bit deeper. So it would start with reaching out to the clinic and, you know, filling out the required paperwork, getting linked with a therapist. That therapist is going to schedule clients for a diagnostic assessment to make sure that mentally and emotionally you're a good candidate for ketamine. Some things that might exclude folks from being a good candidate might be the presence of bipolar disorder or borderline personality disorder, but that can be case-by-case dependent, depending on how well-managed those diagnoses are. And then, you know, if the therapist gives that client the green light for like, yes, you are a good candidate for ketamine treatment, then they're going to see the doctor for a very thorough medical exam to make sure there are no medical conditions present that would exclude them from being a good candidate, such as, you know, we want to look for like hypertension or heart issues. And again, it's case by case, you know, dependent. And that's not my wheelhouse. So that's about as far as I'll go with saying that. But like, assuming that the doctor gives the green light, and then if I've given the green light, then we're going to start what we call our prep sessions. As of right now, there is no sort of one way of doing a preparation session. It is dependent on the therapist, and it can be dependent on the client as well as like the work they're doing. How I like to approach my prep sessions is kind of merging the prep session for like an EMDR session. So eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. They have this list of negative and positive cognitions, and we can call those like core beliefs. So I'll go through that entire list of negative core beliefs with a client and ask, do any of these resonate with you? And then if any of them resonate, do you have a specific memory that you can think of that is associated with this thought as I just asked you that question? And then I'll take note of these things. And then we, what I like to do in that moment as they identify the negative cognitions is I'll flip the script and, you know, if there's a negative core belief of I am not enough, I might flip it to I am adequate. And I save this list for the day of the journey. But then I also take into consideration what the client wants out of it and getting a sense of who do you want to be on the other side of this journey. And sometimes it's, you know, less anxiety or to have less depressive episodes. And again, it's not always guaranteed, but it can be something that definitely helps. And even if we're not like as active as we want to be post-ketamine journey, oftentimes clients have observed being more patient with themselves and more patient with the world around them. Sometimes it takes one to two, could take up to three sessions for to do all of the prep work. It all depends. Typically, since I work at the Institute for Integrative Therapies in Eden Prairie, but then I also have my private practice, Center for Sexual Wellness, oftentimes I'm working with folks at Center for Sexual Wellness for quite some time. And then they will say, I want to do ketamine therapy. And then we'll transition some of our work to that clinic for their medicine journey. So we have usually a rich history prior to going into it and a pretty solid therapeutic foundation. The day of the ketamine journey, that list that we've that like I had written down of the negative cognitions and flipping the script, I will have that entire list with me the day of the session. And I'll have the clients come in, and then all of the positive affirmations that we together that we co-created in that prep session, I will have them write down on a piece of tag board. And that will be on an altar space that they create in the medicine session room. And so their altar space can consist of anything that is of importance to them. And it could be pictures, it could be stuffed animals, it could be crystals, you know, or a specific piece of clothing that has some sentimental value. anything that gives them a sense of comfort that they want to come with them on the part of, you know, their journey. And so once this list is written by the clients, I will have them speak it out loud. Mm. So that is something that they are hearing themselves say to themselves in I statement form. I am enough. I am adequate. Yeah. I love my life. I am a happy person. So that can be a new sort of just kind of jump-starting that thought process before we introduce the medicine. So then, you know, before we'll go into the actual medicine session, we'll do that prep work. And then the doctor will take them to do a mini medical evaluation to make sure, like, how's your blood pressure today? You know, did you follow the direction of not eating 5 hours or not drinking anything in advance? You know, so you can be in the moment and not have to like get up and use the restroom. That would be pretty you'd be very discombobulated. Yeah. I've never had that happen before, and like fingers crossed it never happens. So then in the medicine session, I will lead a client through breathing exercises. And sometimes before we get started, I'll have them think of a very pleasant memory and to like almost literally bring themselves back there. Mm-hmm. Ketamine, when you do an intramuscular dose, it comes on very fast. And then it's almost like this roller coaster ride that you knew you were going on, but you didn't know when it was going to start. Mm. So how we do these sessions are very structured. You are in the office, you are laying in a recliner. I am present the entire time. I will not leave your side for 1 second. You will have an eye mask on, and the eye mask has holes in it, so you can open your eyes, but you'll still see darkness. Mm. And then there is headphones that you will wear, and these headphones are connected to a microphone, so you'll be able to hear my voice, and you will listen to a curated playlist that will follow your journey. We know that when you do the ketamine, it will last for about 90 minutes, and it's pretty structured, and you know, well, we know what to expect. You might not know on, you know, being on the end of the client's side, but, you know, you'll experience your peak, your plateau, and then your come down, and the music list that we curate will also follow that journey. Mm. And then afterwards, you know, once you come back to your body, because you get into a pretty deep dissociated state and it has psychedelic effects. So you might have some imagery that you might see, and it's just case by case dependent. And then once you come out of it, we'll do a little debrief. If I have observed anything that you did in your journey, I will ask you, you know, do you remember saying this? Do you know what was going on in your journey during this time? And then once your ketamine journey has, you know, been completed, the doctor will give you a neurological exam to make sure like you are okay to leave. Your designated driver will take you home because you cannot drive. And then you and I will set up a time to reconnect, and that's when our integration starts. We like to do the integration appointments 1 to 10 days after the ketamine session, because that's when that neuroplasticity is ripe. Mm-hmm. That is a prime time to integrate new habits, thought processes, you know, the whole shebang. So That's it in a nutshell.
Very thorough explanation.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate that. That really gives a better sense now on how you do this and kind of all the prep work really that comes beforehand mm-hmm. before you even move into the session. I like how connected you are with the clients, how you... I've worked with some clients who have done ketamine, but they mm-hmm. did it through some kind of online way where they mm-hmm. saw an online doc who sent them the medicine and then they just kind of did it yep. on their own. And I mm-hmm. don't think it was as effective. It wasn't as effective like the way that you're describing. It was, at least the people that I've talked with haven't had the effects that they were hoping to get doing it that way, which, you know, may or may not have made a difference if they were with somebody. But I think having mm-hmm. that guide would probably have helped a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's not only the guide that helps, but it's also the means of administration that you have to consider. Mm. So some folks will go to ketamine clinics and do ketamine IVs or infusions. And, you know, that's not necessarily, you know, you might not be able to get as deep or even into a dissociated state, but you still have, you know, those effects on the brain that you would with, you know, an alternative method of administration.
Meaning like the neuroplasticity effects?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's one of those things. I'm definitely biased to the approach being in clinic and completely supervised. I know that there are some folks who opt to do the at-home treatment because it's a more affordable option. And those are methods that I am less familiar with. So it's not one where I necessarily can say like yay or nay to it. But I do think that this kind of work can be really significant and can have a profound effect on a person's life when they are just completely encompassed by a support team that is there to guide them through the entire journey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm seeing is that support, you're held in lots of different ways mm-hmm. so that you can really just let go into the experience. What would you say is most misunderstood about ketamine? And like, what are I'm sure you have to kind of just explain to people what you're actually doing. How would you, what would you say people don't understand?
Well, you know, just the idea of, you know, ketamine being perceived as a party drug is something that can be quite stigmatizing, you know, and it not yet being fully accepted by the, like, general population or, you know, just maybe random outliers as a means to approach mental health therapy and just having concerns of the perceptions of other people. If they were to do ketamine treatment, like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my kids if I, you know, that sort of concern where it's like, nope, this is a legitimate approach to mental health therapy. And there is lots of research to support it. Or, you know, just there being the association with party drugs, I think it, and it being something that people do recreationally. And, you know, there kind of being that sort of gray area where it's like, that's not how we are administering this drug. That's not how we're recommending the use. Like, you know, we're not sending you home with it. You really, at least working with IIT, there's no chance of abusing it because you're not going to leave the clinic with, you know, ketamine. Maybe the residual effect in your system, absolutely. But like, you know, there are no goodie bags to go. So I think there's a just, and also this idea that this is new. It's not new. You know, when we consider it, like ketamine has been used for decades, you know, and then when it was the war on drugs and then all of the research on these psychedelics are, you know, shut down by the government and the stigma that was developed from those events. Mm-hmm. And having to overcome that perception that has been, you know, kind of ingrained in folks, even though it's outdated.
Yeah.
So
if someone was interested in exploring this, what are the kinds of things they would need to be aware of? Like, what are the risks that somebody might have doing this kind of a treatment?
Well, I definitely think it's something, do your research. Do your research and if this would be an appropriate method. And if you're not sure, you could always call the Institute for Integrative Therapies and set up a free discovery call. And the folks that you would speak with would most likely be able to answer some of your questions. And if you had more, again, it's always like our door is open and we like to make folks feel as comfortable as possible before making a decision and committing to going on this journey. I think it would also be a good idea to, you know, take inventory of the work that you have done. And where you want to go, you know, as I had mentioned, part of our prep session is getting an idea of who you want to be on the other side. And that might be a good question to ask yourself before, you know, making the call is what am I hoping to get out of this? And that might, you know, be a greater way of like, Is this right for me? And if you have the answer to that question, great. If you don't, let's do some exploring before we, you know, start the journey of like doing the journey.
You mentioned the war on drugs and how everything, all this really amazing research around psychedelics got shut down, you know, way back when. But things seem to be changing a lot. What's getting you excited about the future of using altered states to grow?
What gets me excited? I think what gets me most excited is seeing clients on the other side. You know, people can come in to a ketamine journey and be in a significant depressive episode. And 90 minutes later, come out on the other side smiling. And it's just really beautiful to witness that. And it is a tremendous honor to be a part of. And knowing that, like, it took a lot of courage to not only call the office, but to allow yourself to go that deep, to let go. It's just really beautiful. Yeah.
If somebody wants to learn more about you or learn more about the institute that you work with, what is the best way for them to reach out?
So if you just look up the Institute for Integrative Therapies in Eden Prairie, there's a lot of information there. You can get more information on the clinic and, you know, the therapists as well as the doctors that work there. If you wanted to work with me either doing ketamine or sex therapy or a combination of the both or any trauma work, you can find me at centerforsexualwellness.org. Center is spelt the British way. You know, I like to complicate things just a little bit. And then on Instagram, my handle is Dr. Courtney Says. And I always like to have a little, you know, sassy little snippet to that. And it's Dr. Courtney Says because what I say goes.
I love it. What is the one thing that you want the listeners or the viewers to leave with today?
I would want to leave them with the idea that to be open to the idea that, you know, if happiness or depression or, you know, being more open, having a less intense trauma response to something is something you are seeking. It's not guaranteed, but it is a possibility as long as you stay open and let go. Because holding on is heavy, it's exhausting, and, you know, sometimes it's time.
There's a nothing better than letting go.
Yes. Yeah. Especially when the load is heavy and you've been holding it for too long.
And most of us have.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Courtney. This has been a really incredible chat. I've learned a ton and I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. You have a beautiful day and take care. It's been lovely to be on here.